switch to a healthcare plan awarded 5 out of 5 stars for quality and service. A plan from United Healthcare. Get benefits like vision, dental care, and more. Call United Healthcare today at 1-800-SHOP-UHC. Benefits, features, or devices vary by plan and area. Limitations and exclusions apply. Every year, Medicare evaluates plans based on a 5-star rating system. Medicare Advantage plan star rating applies to contract numbers H0294, H2001, H2226, H3794, H4590, H5253, and H5420 that are rated 5 out of 5 stars for 2022.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 10th day, right? It's the 10th day of February 2022, right?
Yes.
I knew it. I'll bet it's Thursday too, right?
Yes.
There you go. I'm right on. See, that's little Lisa. Okay, little Lisa. Right here. You hear her? She cackles and cackles, but we never find any eggs. Okay.
Good evening, everyone.
That's all right. There, she got it out, didn't she? All right. And sitting next to her, man, he's got his head covered. He's dressed warm, and I mean he's really dressed warm in here tonight, and he's not even in the least bit trying to go along with Coca-Cola and be less white.
Okay. How about be blessed, don't stress everyone?
Okay, Randy Gay, that's what I say. And there, on the board, he's my snurdly. Okay. None other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
All righty. And I think you got to crank the sound, the volume up a little bit there. And now we have our special guest today. Let me ask you a question. And if you were given two paths, one says here, this path is given to you by God. And then this other path is given to you by the other guy, which path would you take? You don't know
God's
the answer.
Path.
Oh, think about it. No,
God's path.
God, of course. There is no other path.
Well, you know that's right. What we're given with medicine. Okay,
right.
One of them. Okay, the apothecary. Okay, which is naturopathic medicine, is given to us right in God's Word, the Bible.
Amen.
But the other one is referred to as sorcery or witchcraft, and that's the path most people choose. And guess what? We have Dr. Peter Glidden. He's going to tell us why that is later on. Are you there, Peter?
Yes, I am. And, Pastor, you know what Groucho Marx said?
What did he say?
Time flies like an arrow, and fruit flies like a banana.
those words will live in infamy, I tell you. All righty, we got a lot to talk about tonight, so we're going to get right into the Bible study, and you just jump in anytime you want. The title of the message this week was A True Jew According to the Bible. Who is a true Jew according to the Bible? Now, you have a lot of a lot of controversy, and the reason for this out there is I get a lot of mail. I get a lot of mail. I mean, I really get a lot of mail. Don't I get a lot of mail?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And,
goodness, yes.
And so what happens is a lot of people out there blame Israel for everything, that Israel cannot do anything, any right at all. And then other people out there think Israel can do no wrong, that Israel is perfect no matter what Israel does. You've got to stick up and stand up for Israel. But that's not exactly what God's Word, the Bible, teaches, does it?
Okay? That's right.
Okay, so what it does teach is those that bless Israel, God will bless, and those that curse Israel, God will curse. But he's talking about true Israel, you see, because a lot of people don't know the difference between what Israel really is, right? And so we've been going all through that, and we're going to pick it up this week. Now, is Israel a good nation? No.
No.
Is Israel's as bad as America? Even in some cases, worse in many ways. They've got a higher abortion rate, which is killing babies. And according to God, that's a real no-no. They've got a very high rate of prostitution. They have one of the world's largest sodomite parades there in Tel Aviv. And here, they've killed off a lot of their own young soldiers with the poisonous poke.
With the poisonous poke. They've got a very high rate for that, too.
Yeah.
Isn't that the highest in the world? It might be the highest in the world.
Yeah. So now, what do we got going on here? Well, God's Word, the Bible, is pretty clear. When it comes to true Israel, God says he'll judge them. He will bless them or he will curse them. It's up to him to do that, right?
That's right.
Okay, but what we are going to do, and by the way, do you bless someone by telling them what they want to hear or what they need to hear?
What they need to hear.
Yes, what they need to hear.
That's exactly what we do here, huh?
That's right.
And we're going to start right in there. Randy, we're going to be in Romans chapter 11.
Okay, this is about God's love for Israel, is it not?
Yeah, okay. Well, it's actually, if you read it real carefully, it's God's mercy on Israel.
Okay.
But read verses 1 through 6 and then pause.
Okay, I got you. Okay. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. And, of course, this is the Apostle Paul. Okay. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Would ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God to him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed down the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace be no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work.
Okay, so here now, God is telling him that, look, I've kept a remnant. Today you have people out there that believe that the church has replaced Israel, that we have become the new Israel, we are the spiritual Israel, and the old Israel has done away with. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that as we go down this passage, that's going to be totally disclaimed and disproven
right.
Also.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just jump in, Peter. You have a comment, just jump right in there. And so, there you go. And so here now, let me ask you this then, because Elijah was very great. A reforming prophet who, what did he do? He was challenging the northern kingdom, the Israelites, all the time to repent, didn't he?
That's right.
Repent,
yes.
Repent, 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 repent. Now here, God chose the Jews, the people which he foreknew to be the people through whom the rest of the world would find salvation through the Jews. Now here, as we go and we see there in verse 6, but if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. Now, do you think it's easier for God to love us when we're always doing good?
Oh, I think it is too that you mean if we're always doing good, absolutely. I think that God, but then God loves us when we do wrong too. So maybe His love is just consistent.
So if it was easier for Him to love us when we just did good, wouldn't that be works?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
but we're not. We're under grace, right? We're saved by
That's
His grace, right?
Yes.
So here, of course, we know that God chose us, right? Because
that's right.
Because yes. We deserve to be chosen.
Oh no!
No, no, goodness, no! We don't deserve that at all.
No.
Okay,
no.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that there are some people that their behavior has gotten so bad that God couldn't save them?
Well, not that He couldn't.
No.
Okay.
I think everybody puts themselves into hell. Everybody does.
Okay, so mm-hmm. You think that though? Does He tell you? Is God merciful?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, is He most merciful? So then, will He ever punish you more than you deserve, or will He ever?
I think it's always less.
Reward you less than you're right.
It's always
so,
less.
Yes.
So here now, when we see this, we understand that. What is it? What do we have to pay for the greatest gift that you can receive? That's eternal life and immortality. What is the price? What do we have to pay?
It's a free gift.
It's a free gift.
Yes. Okay.
Now, and Peter, you just jump right in. You have a comment. Just jump right in there.
I'm sitting at the feet of the masters right now.
All righty. There you go. And so here now, the richest people in the world cannot buy 1 minute of salvation, can they?
No.
No.
Okay. Now, so it's a free gift. If you have a gift, it's not something that you can earn, is it?
No.
No.
Okay, so go ahead and pick it up in verse 7.
Okay, what then? Israel have not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God have given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. Continue.
Let's take a look at what you just read here. Now,
okay.
Verse 7. Here, they were blinded. Why? What was the reason they were blinded?
Well, it says that God didn't want them to see. He gave them the spirit of slumber.
They were blinded because of their sin, huh?
They've sinned.
Yes.
Right.
It's God's punishment for their sins.
Yes.
So that was a confirmation of their own stubbornness, huh?
Yes.
Yes.
And so in judging them, did God remove their ability to see and repent?
No.
I think the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to see and repent.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. I think that's one of those mysteries, if you will, that the answer is yes and no. That God, you said, could he? Yes, he could. Does he? I don't know if he.
Well, he did in this case.
He did in this case. Mm-hmm. Okay.
In this case, he removed their ability.
Yes.
And the reason he did that is that they would experience the consequences of their rebellion.
Okay.
That was the purpose. Uh-huh. That's what he says right there. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always.
Mm-hmm.
Now, go ahead and pick it up in verse 11.
Okay. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. And if the fall of them be riches for the world and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. You want me to continue? Or not?
Okay, well, you know, here, what he was talking about, Paul had a desire here, and the desire is that there would be no difference as far as recognition of the Jews and the Gentiles.
Right.
People in the church, they would be one body where there would be no discrimination. But what happened, now, in the early church, the majority of the early Christians were what?
Jews. They were Jews.
They were Jews, okay. And then as the church continued on and Gentiles became dominant because...
But isn't it true that they didn't even know in the beginning that Gentiles could be saved because Peter's vision about the sheet from heaven, I mean, he didn't know. I don't think he knew at that particular juncture that Gentiles could be saved until God talked to him about killing and eating, and Peter said, I haven't touched what was unclean. I don't think they knew that Gentiles could be saved.
No, they didn't. They didn't think they would be saved. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. And so here, but what happened over the years when, especially if we take a look at, like, for example, in Germany, what was the church that was prevalent in Germany?
The Lutheran Church.
Yes.
Well, no. The one that Martin Luther was a member of. So Catholic Church would have to be, sort of.
And the Roman Catholic Church. So what happened as the Lutherans and the Catholics, well, the Lutherans actually came out of the Catholics.
Okay? Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
But how did their opinion, when it came to the Jews, how did it change?
Oh, they began to blame the Jew for everything.
Yeah,
for
and
everything.
The Jews became...
All the ills in their society were caused by Jews, especially the economic hardship.
For I speak unto you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify in my office, if by any means I may provoke to emulations them which are my flesh, and might save some of them, for if the causing away of them be reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be? But life from the dead. For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. So he's going on to say, and if some of the branches be broken off,
that's right. Mm-hmm.
And thou, being a white olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root, and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou boast not the root, but the root. Now, so what do you think he's talking about?
What he's talking about is that the Jews are naturally part of the, let's call it the if the body of Christ, will say, is a plant, then the natural branches of the Jews, they're broken off, and that we, the Gentiles, shouldn't boast because we're grafted in. We're really not part of the natural process of that. We're grafted in. It's like grafting in something, say, to a tree, and you're creating a new person in Christ. But he's saying, don't boast about it, because because our salvation came because they were broken off.
Okay, why did the Jews reject Jesus? They rejected him out of unbelief.
Out of unbelief,
yes.
Right.
And so the Apostle Paul is telling the Gentiles here, listen. You better learn a lesson from with the Jews, okay? They were, because of their unbelief, they rejected the Lord Jesus, and that same thing could happen to you. Now, if you could have been grafted in, you could be grafted out, too, okay?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Don't get uppity, right?
That's right.
And so don't think that now are the savior of the Jews. If it had not been for their stiff neck and their rebellion, you wouldn't be here now.
You wouldn't be here now.
That's right.
That's right. Okay, it says, thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou shouldest by faith, and thou standest by faith, but not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest thou he also spare not. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity, but towards thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For if God is able to graft them in again, And if thou wert cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree?
Well, we're going to see that, because Scripture answers that as we continue here tomorrow night. But we don't have, well, you know, maybe we do have enough time. Let's go over, okay, to Zechariah. First of all, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and read me verses 39 and 40.
11, 39, and 40. Come on. All right, just about there. Here we go. 39 and 40. Okay, 39. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
Okay, so now these, he's referring to all of these people that he just referred to, starting here in verse 29, okay.
Mm-hmm.
These were all Jews here, and these were the heroes of the faith. They suffered all kinds of things, sure, as you read. In fact, let's go back and just pick it up in verse 32. Read verse 32 right through 38.
Okay, sure. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weaknesses were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens, and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise.
God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now here, you know, this passage is called the Heroes of the Faith.
Right, I call it the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And so here, now what we see here is that these mighty, mighty Jewish heroes, they didn't receive God's total reward because they died before
the Christ. They died before Christ.
Yes,
before Christ came. So they never received the total reward, but in God's plan, they and the Christian believers, who were also enduring much testing, are going to be rewarded together. Okay, but what does the entire book of Hebrews? Maybe we should ask Craig on the board and see if he knows. The theme of the entire book of Hebrews is the main thing is saying that one, the Christian faith and religion is much superior to, do you have the answer, Craig?
No, Pastor.
Okay.
all other faiths.
Well, it's referring to the Jewish religion, because that's what it's called, the Book of Hebrews.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so, in fact, Paul referred to it as the religion of the Jews, but the whole point of it through the Book of Hebrews is telling you the Book of Hebrews, because what happened? Remember, in the beginning, the Christian faith was considered by the Romans as to be being a sect of Judaism, and Judaism was a legal religion. And so the persecution wasn't real bad in the beginning, but then when both the Jews rejected them and the Romans, then the persecution became very severe, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
And so what happened, a lot of those Jews that were professing believers said, you know, we had it much better under Judaism, so I think I'm going to go back to Judaism from Christianity. And what does that mean? He was warning them that if you had made that commitment, don't
go back. Don't turn back.
Don't turn back. Okay.
Don't turn back.
Alrighty. We're going to Well, we're going to go to a quick break right now. And you know what? I think maybe my dog was a Democrat.
On March 11th and 12th, Bob France will return to the Embassy Suites in Independence as the MC of the nationally acclaimed Bringing America Back to Life convention to introduce such renowned names as Matt Walsh of The Daily Wire, Milo Yiannopoulos, whose powerful conversion story is riveting, David Barton from Wall Builders, and many more. This 13th annual educational conference is presented by the Kurtz Brothers. Join us as we host one of the most significant educational platforms in the nation, designed to equip and engage all those involved in this, the greatest civil rights issue of all times, the right to life. Through focusing on prayer, action, voting, and education, Cleveland Right to Life is paving the way back to life. Help us to bring America back to life on March 11th and 12th. For information, tickets, and booth registration, go to bringingamericabacktolife.org, bringingamericabacktolife.org, or call 440-653-5245. 440-653-5245.
Well, I think my dog's a Democrat, and it breaks my heart to have to say an ugly thing like that. But there's a big old pile of evidence that all points towards the fact my dog might be a Democrat. I pay for all his health care, and I buy everything he eats. I provide him with a place to live just to keep him off the streets. But he just acts like he's entitled, even trying to unionize the cat. Yeah, I think my dog's a Democrat. Chewed up the Constitution that I keep on display, and every time Benghazi's on TV, he looks the other way.
What difference at this point does it make?
I know he's a liberal, even if he won't admit it. Did it. He ain't got no papers, and what really gets my goat is if he could find a ride to town, well, I know they'd let him vote. Well, sure, we've had some good times, and he's been fun to have around. He ever barks about my right to bear arms, I'm gonna have to have him put down.
Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy?
I pay for all his health care, and I buy everything he eats. I provide him with a place to live just him on the streets. You'd have to be a socialist to ever act like that. So my dog must be a Democrat. His behavior has been hidden, that his mom might be Mrs. Clinton. Spread the wealth, government health, flea-bitten Democrat. Dang it.
You know, my dog's done some things that have made me pretty angry in the past. You know, he doesn't like it when we go away, we leave him, because he don't like to be left alone at home. And so he had it for a while there. When he would do that, he would go and he'd pee on your shoes.
Oh, my goodness.
That would be his way of showing you, okay? And when he did that, I called him some names. I did, but I never called him a Democrat, okay? Because if I did, I think he'd look for a position elsewhere, okay? But anyhow, we're going to get right up. I got to know one thing. Everybody is sick, and I know why, and so does Dr. Peter J. Glidden. And I bet he's here to tell us all about the allopathic versus the real thing. What do you think, Peter?
Well, there's a lot to break down for people. And, you know, knowledge is power, and my people are destroyed by lack of it. Since 1912 in the United States of America, we haven't had a free medical market. We've been laboring underneath the medical monopoly for over 100 years now. And it's a secret that's hiding in plain sight, because people just don't understand that there's more than one type of medicine. And we've been socialized to believe, incorrectly, that the MD holds the secret decoder ring to all things medical, and that everybody else is a back-of-the-bus quack with substandard training, and the reverse is true. The leading cause of death in the United States is MD-directed medical therapeutics, the leading cause of bankruptcy, MD-directed medical therapeutics, and while the MDs have been in exclusive control over the development and delivery of medicine, we're getting sicker. We're not getting healthier, we're getting sicker. And medical doctors, there's a place in the world for medical doctors. They're fantastic. It's surgery when it's necessary, trauma care, childbirth. That's their wheelhouse.
Can I ask you a question here? Because I know this has been going on for a very long time, but I can remember when I, back in the 50s, you know, I come from a family, large family, and back in the 50s, when one of the children were in the family was sick, the doctor would come to our house. The doctor would come, and somehow back then, it seemed like they used common sense, a lot of common sense, and more likely or not, He wasn't trying to push a drug. He would be telling you, well, maybe if you, drink some orange juice or vitamin C, or he would use basically mostly good old naturopathic, even though he was an MD, for the most part. That has really changed, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's really changed. And the reason that's changed is because of the medical monopoly and the influence that the pharmaceutical industry has on the development and the delivery of medicine, and then the insurance industry followed on their heels. And now it's just a snake pit. It's driven by money. It's not driven by humanity. It's not driven by a need to make people healthier and make the world a better place. It's driven by the bottom line. And because it's a monopoly, when anybody opposes anything that is said by the mainstream, they're labeled as a back-of-the-bus quack with substandard and dangerous training, and that's been the mantra against everybody who hasn't been an MD for the last 110 years, and it's been writ large now with all of this poisonous poke nonsense. I mean, even conventional medical doctors who were standing up, are standing up against the narrative, are labeled as back-of-the-bus quacks, right? Ridiculous people, dangerous people. They need to be deplatformed. They need to have their license taken away. They need to be fired from their jobs. This is the power and the persuasion that the pharmaceutical industry wields.
In other words, today, if we are trying to find a very qualified, a good doctor, someone that is credentialed, someone you can trust, find one that the media calls the quacks the most, right?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. But if you live in Canada or 28 states in the United States, your insurance won't pay for it. My profession, it's licensed and regulated in 22 states only. And in the state of Florida, and I think it's the state of South Carolina, it's a felony to practice naturopathic medicine. Now, what does that mean? That the laws of science change? when you cross a state line? No. It's all about power and control, and it has been so dominant for so long that people just don't.
But isn't the cat out of the bag? I mean, look, the health food industry, the health is a multi-billion dollar industry. I know a lot of people. Just recently, a number of elderly people are scared to death to go to the hospital. They're scared to death to go to the hospital, and they'll say, "No, because of my age, if I go there, I'll never come back. I'll never live long enough in there." That's the trust is gone. I've seen this. You know, what do you think?
Well, when I graduated from medical school in 1991, there were four states in the United States that licensed and regulated naturopathic medicine. Now there are 22. More people have heard the term naturopathic, have heard the term homeopathic, and have a sense that there is something that is out there. But the ship of medicine, takes a long time to turn around. And yes, it has changed, and yes, it is turning. And hopefully the meltdown from all of this coronavirus nonsense will help the cause here. Because what is desperately needed, not only in the United States, but in the world, Pastor, is a free medical market. We need free and equal access to all types of medicine, and we don't have that now. And if we can secure that, that will change everything.
Dr. Glidden, going back a little bit, in the 50s, it seemed to me that when the doctor came to the house, he had the pills too. Because that little brown envelope, isn't that true?
Yeah. So, there's a difference in philosophical orientations between the allopathic MD and everybody else who practices every different type of holistic medicine. And the allopathic philosophy is atheistic at its root. It believes that the human body is a bag of biochemicals waiting to break, and if it can't be measured, it doesn't exist. So the soul doesn't exist. The spirit doesn't exist. The body is a bag of biochemicals. There is no inherent spiritual vital force driving the body. There's none of that. The body doesn't have the ability to fix itself. So from the allopathic vantage point, even before the pharmaceutical industry got their hooks deep into the system, the allopathic doctor was trained that they had to manage the body. Right? So you'd give an antibiotic, an anti-inflammatory, an antidepressant. It was a combative type of philosophy because the idea is that the body can't fix itself and it got broken. And so now what do you have to do? Well, you have to march in and you have to manage the body the way that the doctor, the way that the scientist thinks is best, rather than what the holistic medical practitioners profess, that the body knows how to fix itself, and it's our job to develop strategies that support the body's ability to fix itself. And this is the gigantic difference in these two ideologies, the allopathic and the naturopathic and the homeopathic, they've always been at odds with each other. And it is very much, when you boil it right down to the root, what it boils down to is an atheistic worldview versus a spiritual worldview.
Yeah, it does, but here's that is the part that's I don't want to say confusing, but it makes you scratch your head. And the reason I say that is this is I had friends that were MDs, and they were Christians.
Deeply religious people, right?
Pardon?
Who were deeply religious people?
Deeper, but yet at the same time, although most of them use common sense. I mean, they would use, and they would not push. They didn't push the drugs. I mean, these are people that would tell you, look, if you're going to have an antibiotic, take as little as possible, because if you continue, then they'll work in reverse of what they're supposed to do. And these people were Christian people, but they used good and common sense, and to their ability, they were truthful to you. Others don't. They'll push whatever kind of pill comes out, whatever big pharma tells them to push, they'll push. And
this has a lot to do with the kind of evolution of the times, right? Because things were very different in the 40s. Things were very different socially in the 50s. our mores were different. The social stress was different. The entanglement of the pharmaceutical industry and the insurance industry was just at its beginning. And so there was room for free thought, but there isn't room for free thought anymore. And, you know, this is why it was called the practice of medicine, right? And doctors would get together at annual conferences, and they'd trade notes. And they'd say, well, this is what I do for high blood pressure. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know you could do that. Well, this is what I do for infertility. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. And it was all based on practical common experience, whereas now, if it's not based on $65 million of published research, nobody's going to pay attention to it. And if you promote a therapeutic that's outside of the party line, well, forget it. You're going to have your license yanked. And that's why so many medical doctors in coronavirus time kept their mouths shut, because they didn't want to lose their job, because that's exactly what would have happened had they spoken the truth. And that is just a horrible reflection on the state of our economy right now and the state of affairs of the social fabric in the United States.
You've probably heard a lot of stories like this, but about 26, 27 years ago when my son was young, he was about 5 or 6 years old then, I took him to see his doctor, and she said, and she was a nice lady, she said, well, he has not had his all of his childhood vaccines. And I said, he's not going to get his childhood vaccines. And she said, and why is that? And I said, because I know what's in those, and you do too. And then she snapped. She says, don't judge me. You don't know my situation. And I said, well, look, I know that you're pushing vaccines, and you know and I know that some of these they're not good. What's that? Even back then, they had cells of aborted babies in them. And she said, I have right now at home, I'm a single mother. I'm a single mother, and I'm raising my 4 children plus my sister's 4 children. She said, I'm doing that by myself. And she said, I need this job. I need this job. And if I don't push those, then I'll lose this job. And she says, so I've got my choices to push these vaccines and feed my children or not push them. Pastor, and she says, I don't want to push them. No. She says, I hate them. But she says, in order to keep my job, so what would you do? Would you not feed your children? See, her sister died and left her with her 4 children. And so that was the situation. But two wrongs never make a right, okay?
That's right, and we need heroes. Where are the heroes? This is what the world needs. The world needs people to stand up and do the hard thing.
Yeah.
Stand up and do the hard thing. And this is what's necessary here. And, you know, that's when the grace of God showers upon you. That's when unseen doors, unseen help comes. That's when it happens, is when you stand up and do the right thing, even though you think it might hurt you. We need more doctors to be doing that. Honest to God.
I want to again thank you for sending me Attempt to Cure. These books that you have are dynamite, absolutely dynamite. Attempt to Cure, you have the disease. You list all of these different diseases, and look, I'm by no means, you know, a naturopath. That's not my expertise. But I do have common sense, and I can read through this, and I can see, and I understand how it works. Okay, and you made it easier for lay people when it comes to healthcare to understand. So, again, this book that you wrote, Attempt to Cure, is absolute dynamite, and I want to thank you for sending me all these, because we're probably going to be going through them pretty fast.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate yes. that. And that underlines something that's important to point out, that one of the things that happened way back in the early 1900s when the medical market was monopolized by the AMA is they instituted a language monopoly. So medicine all of a sudden had to be taught in Latin. And the intention of that was to make it seem like medical concepts were very difficult to understand, that only highly educated people could get it. And that's why they did it like that. When the fact of the matter is that most medical concepts are easy. Surgery is difficult. surgery is difficult, but learning how the body works and learning what to do to heal the body is easy. It's as easy as falling off of a log. And that is one of my strengths, that one of the blessings I've had by the Lord is, you know, that I have an ability to make seemingly complicated medical things just easy to understand, it because in point of fact, they are easy to understand. But nobody's ever taken the time to line it up for people. And that's one of the biggest problems that we have in medicine right now is that everybody thinks, oh, only the doctor can understand this. No, it's nonsense, man. If you're smart enough to pass the driver's license test, well, you're smart enough to understand what to do to help your body heal itself. It's that simple.
Well, you know, if I wanted to learn, you know, if I wanted to learn how to be able to spot, you know, any kind of evidence, if I was out a woodsman and I wanted to learn how to trail the animals and I wanted to see wherever they would leave a track or if I identify what kind of an animal was out here, or I would pick somebody with very good eyes. Someone could see. I wouldn't pick a blind man because a blind man cannot see very well. No. But, and the reason I'm telling you this is, it wasn't long ago, I was reading a report about lifespans. And at that time, physicians, MDs, had one of the shortest lifespans. In fact, I remember some years ago when the average lifespan of a man was about 74 years old. Right. And at that time, okay, no, let me take that back. Go back farther. When the average lifespan of a man was 67, that's when MDs, medical doctors, the average lifespan was 59. Right. Now, you see here, if the average lifespan is 67 and the MDs, the ones that are supposed to teach you how to stay alive along, is 59, I'm starting to think maybe they don't know what they're doing, okay? Well, and, it's the same.
Pardon? A colleague of mine, the guy that I mentored with for 10 years, he's the most researched naturopathic doctor in the world. He had an audio cassette that was going around the country about 30 years ago. It was called Dead Doctors Don't Lie.
Oh, yeah. I remember that very well. In fact, was that Wallach?
That was Joel Wallach, and that was the whole thesis.
We had him on the program on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, medical doctors live shorter than anybody else. So why are we going to trust them to know what to do? I mean, he's spot on about that, right? Sometimes the secret is hiding in plain sight.
Well, was the reason for that is that they take their own drugs. Many of them got hooked upon the drugs that they were pushing on other people. Is that not the reason?
Well, that's correct, and also lack of knowledge, because, again, their methodology is based upon, is incorrect, and it's based upon an atheistic view of the world, which is incorrect. And the halls of allopathic medicine are littered with the discarded remains of outmoded, outdated theories. Oh, first it's bloodletting, and oh, then we got to use leeches, and oh, then we have to dose you high with mercury and calomel, and right? It's one thing after the next, and it fails, and people die, and it fails, and people die, and it fails, and people die, and for some reason, and I think it's demonic, for some reason, every time the medical doctors fail, society gives them a pass, pats them on the back, and says, go get them, son, try it again, and I just don't understand that.
Well, that's why, Peter, I would never want to go to a psychiatrist. Now, there are a lot of people think I need one, okay? but you see, I was doing that, reading that study about the highest rate of suicide amongst any profession, and the highest rate of suicide amongst any profession were psychiatrists. And now, I thought their job was to keep you from committing suicide, right?
Correct.
And so you're going to the sick people to get healed, and just something not right about that, okay? And you know, the other thing, too, I was astonished at the highest rate amongst a profession that came up with VD, and that were dentists. And that was because they were always in the blood, you know, working on that. But that was one of the hazards of the profession. But But think about that. Think about that psychiatrist and psychiatrist or psychologist. They're there to supposedly keep you, and they're the craziest people in the world.
They are. And one of the reasons for that is because of their training is in allopathic medicine, which is reductionist and atheistic. Their view, what they are taught in school, and then the, which is parsed out in their practice, is that consciousness itself, consciousness, is a function of biochemistry. That consciousness does not exist after the body dies. There's no such thing as the spirit. There's no such thing as the soul. There's no such thing as life after death, because those things have never been measured. Therefore, they don't exist. So consciousness itself, to a psychiatrist, is a function of biochemistry. So when somebody's consciousness is messed up and they're anxious or they're depressed or whatever, rather than try to cure it, rather than try to figure out what's going on in the body that needs to be fixed in order to bring this back into balance, they just throw drugs at it to change the biochemistry, because consciousness is a function of biochemistry. And holistic doctors argue the opposite, that the body is a function of consciousness. Consciousness comes first, and then the body follows suit.
You know, I never looked at it quite that way, but let me give you a good example of what you're talking about. When Abomination, the man of great, great sin, when the man of great, great sin was in office, and he was pulled all of the Bibles and all of the tracts, and when you went to the VA, out of the chapels, you wouldn't even know it was a chapel, because they took everything out. And so I went one day, well, I went to the VA, and we had a fellow met me out there, and another veteran. He said, don't answer yes to any of the questions. They're going to ask you questions when you go in there, and what they're doing, don't answer yes, because what they're doing is they're trying to find a way to put you on a list that says you shouldn't be able to own a firearm, okay? So I went in there, and they had this real pretty woman psychologist, and she came in very friendly. She sat down and she said, let me ask you some questions. I said, yeah. She said, do you feel angry? Do you feel angry about your government? And I said, you know, that's interesting that you should ask me that. And before I answer, you go first. Do you feel angry? And she looked at me for a second, and then she lowered her voice. She said, yeah, I do. She says, I have to work here. She said, I really do. And she said, Pastor, I'm glad you asked me that. You know, but that's the reality. I mean, it's we live in a messed up world. We really do.
Oh, yes.
It's upside down and it's backwards. And it's a giant problem, and people are dying and suffering needlessly because of this lopsidedness. Honestly, Pastor, the only thing that makes sense to me, because the conventional medical profession failed, and they hurt people. Every once in a while, they'll have a little success, but most of the time, their track record is abysmal and loaded with failures, and yet they maintain all the power, they maintain all the prestige, they maintain all of the legal and political persuasion. It has to be something demonic. It has to be the enemy that's fueling that. I can't reason it out any other way.
I think I get the impression from a lot of these medical doctors that they kind of feel that they've got no place to go, that they're trapped in a scenario where they can't. You know, they have to go along with the bureaucrats that run the hospitals, those people that really know nothing about medicine, but they're in there to run the hospitals. They're the money people, and a lot of these doctors feel that they're, and I've heard many of them was very frustrated. You know that that's the system. It's not a good system, but it's either we go along or we get out, or we're out. And isn't it time that the frontline doctors, and I, from what I understand, they're working on their own version of the AMA?
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.